Let's move on to the regular agenda, and then we'll take up the items that were, the one item that was pulled from consent.
Item 237, appoint a Google Fiber project manager for the City of Portland.
Can we just call it Zarina? Good morning, Mary Beth.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I'm Mary Beth Henry with the Office for Community Technology and very happy to be here today to speak about the Google Fiber project. I have a short PowerPoint, and we have a couple of people to talk in support, but first I wanted to say happy birthday. Whose birthday is it? Today is the birthday of the World Wide Web. It was 25 years ago today, March 12, 1989, that Sir Tim Berners-Lee conceived of the World Wide Web. And at the time, his boss thought the idea was vague but exciting. And I think today we would say it's anything but vague and very exciting. So let's go ahead and get started with the PowerPoint. Why is Google Fiber important for Portland? Well, because it really represents the infrastructure of the future, and it's the foundation for economic development, excelling in education and healthcare. And the difference between what we have today in terms of internet access and gigabit fiber is analogous to the difference between dial-up, for those of you who remember, and what we have today. So it's very major, and it really is a game changer. In 2011, the Council unanimously approved the Broadband Strategic Plan. And the Broadband Strategic Plan called for fiber to the home, and it set forth objectives to make Portland fiber ready. So what Google is asking for had already been anticipated in a plan that we have embarked upon. A critical part of that plan is digital inclusion. If you look at this map, you'll see that there are pockets of our community that have only 40 to 60% penetration of internet. We did a study and found that overall we may have an 80% take rate for wireline internet at our homes. But for those households with income of $30,000 or less, we have only a 50% wireline internet take rate. So this is an area that is very important to us and that we will be very cognizant on about as we move forward. Broadband speeds, I think it speaks for itself. In this database, Portland places 200th among the cities in the database, and this data was we looked at yesterday. And you can see Google Fiber in Kansas City significantly higher. South Korea is always touted as the most wired nation in the world. So what is this going to look like? If Google Fiber, and I hope that it's when Google Fiber decides to deploy in Portland, this is the process that they use. They plan the network. And that is they review all the data, they look at the permitting processes. And stage two is designing the network. And in designing the network, they will require fiber huts and telecom cabinets. For the Portland metropolitan area, they are expecting that they'll need 20 to 30 fiber huts, and the fiber huts are really the electronic brains of the network. In terms of telecom cabinets, which are 4 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet, they are looking at a need of approximately 250. And then in Portland proper, we are 80% aerial, so most of the fiber to the home would be strung along utility poles to reach the home. Now, Google has an interesting model, a build-by-demand model, and we look to Kansas City to see how this process works. They basically assign fiberhoods in a city. So in Kansas City, which is a couple hundred thousand population less than Portland, they have about 200 fiberhoods. So the fiberhoods are significantly smaller than what we see as a neighborhood. We have about 95 recognized neighborhoods. So I would expect fiberhoods each neighborhood to have many fiberhoods. They have sign-up goals, which doesn't obligate you, but it gives an idea of an interest. And once a fiberhood reaches a certain threshold, then Google will bring fiber to the home. In terms of the products that they plan to offer, they have a TV product and then a gigabit internet product. In terms of the pricing, since people are very interested in this, for the symmetrical gigabit product, right now it's about $70 per month, and the TV product is about $50 per month. Again, this is taking the information from what they're doing in Kansas City. These are the collaborating jurisdictions: Beaverton, Gresham, Hillsborough, Lake Oswego, Portland, and Tigard. And I'm happy to say that we've already met with the city managers and that each of the jurisdictions has appointed a project manager that we are working with on a weekly basis. It's important to remember that this is a regional effort, and we are collaborating with our regional partners to get this important infrastructure. In terms of Portland's Google project team, people are going to make this happen. It's our staff that's going to collect the data and make this happen. And I want to highlight some of the excellent staff that we have. It would be a verbal marathon for me to list all of the people that are involved, but I want to highlight a few. From PBOT, Alex Bejarano, Peter Kuntz, and Ryan Mace. From BTS, our GIS guru, who is actually going to be uploading these significant databases, Matt Fried. Our very astute city attorney, Ben Walters. And from BDS, Andy Peterson. Planning, Phil Namini. And PDC, we have Chris Harder, Jared Wiener, and Shelley Mithune. We have many other bureaus that are participating as well, but I wanted to highlight those and let you know that regionally, TriMet, ODOT, the Governor's Office, Metro, and Multnomah County are all involved. So it's really a true regional collaboration, which makes it really exciting. Now, what is this fiber-ready checklist that we've been hearing about? Basically, it's a lot of GIS data, some of which we already have readily available and will be uploading this week. In fact, it's available to anybody who wants to look at it. Things like addresses, the streets, our zoning, our jurisdictional boundaries, conduit that we might be able to lease to a private company. Another area that we're looking at is our right-of-way permitting and our construction permitting. Are those processes transparent? How long do they take, and what are the costs? It's really just outlining what those processes are so that Google understands. When does this need to happen? Fairly quickly. The deadline is May 1st to have this information uploaded, and we are not waiting till May 1st. As I said, we have some databases that are ready to go because, again, this was anticipated as part of our broadband strategic plan, with which both Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Saltzman showed great leadership in. So we are already well on our way, and the information will be available to any company that wants to deploy fiber to the home in Portland. We do have a couple of people who need to get to some meetings, and I'm happy to answer your questions, but I wondered if you would indulge us to allow them to testify and then move with questions.
Thank you. Please.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Leslie Reister. I'm the Associate Vice President for Technology Solution Services at Portland Community College. Our service district pretty much encompasses the map you saw there. We have well over 90,000 students, and that's just us. If I were to represent all of the educational entities in this city, the number is far higher. Fiber to the home extends educational opportunities and support services in ways we've only dreamed about. Students can meet face-to-face with advisors, their professors, and each other without leaving home. They can attend and interactively participate in classes and study groups from home. Students can collaborate with researchers from around the world on projects that require high bandwidth and time commitments that make doing that from home more practical. truly high-speed access to the internet enhances the quality of the experience in ways that make interacting with the world exciting and empowering. It opens the door to new ways of teaching and learning that may seem like science fiction but are actually possible today with sufficient bandwidth. Holographic computing, gestural computing, simulations, virtual reality, real-time data manipulation, video and music creation and editing, all of this is possible today if you have gigabit speeds available. Our workforce training and continuing education departments are excited about providing experience in the future of work. The rest of the world has already begun to work online, frequently from home, and facility with interactive technologies is already a basic required skill. And just as an aside, I was in Tibet 10 years ago, and the little villages there had faster internet connections than we have here. It was embarrassing. We have a lot of catching up to do, and robust connections to the home will help us close that gap more quickly. Mm-hmm. Finally, why is having access from home so important? Childcare and sustainability. Childcare and transportation are major concerns for many of our students. High-speed connections to the home could provide options for students that will enable them to fully engage in educational and employment opportunities. Portland will attract and retain employers because we will have an educated and employable citizenry. Supporting this project will help make all of this possible. Thank you.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tani Shaleski. I'm the chairman of the board of Oregon Storyboard. We're a nonprofit that was formed just this year to bring digital entertainment, to cement Portland and Oregon as a hub for digital entertainment technology. In the industry that we work in, emerging technologies are creating entirely new opportunities and new, really high-wage jobs in the entertainment space. Those jobs are very dependent on digital creation and digital distribution, and so the infrastructure in the pipe becomes a critical element of delivering that. Currently, companies that want to have to be competitive in that space will tend to put fiber to their business directly at a cost often of hundreds of thousands of dollars to establish that at a business level. These kind of opportunities to make that more readily available and more economically available allows us to take the really talented collection of people that we have that are coming into Oregon Storyboard and create a radical competitive advantage for them to come here and settle here as opposed to a place where they're going to be in debt. You know, they can only really establish their businesses with this tremendous investment. It gives us a tremendous edge in attracting talent and creating those jobs. And because of that, we've been very supportive of this and are certainly looking forward to becoming an early client and promoting early clientship amongst our entrepreneurs.
Great. Thank you. Questions for any of these panelists? Thanks so much for being here. Thank you for your partnership. Thanks. Questions for Mary Beth?
I have a question for Mary Beth. Could you talk a little bit about the franchise development? Should we, or when does that happen? At what stage?
Well, I'm actually under a non-disclosure agreement on that particular. And I have this astute attorney right here
just
that can
told
advise
you not to ask my
that.
Question. I'm sorry. I didn't know that in advance.
Break that. All right. Great. Okay.
Are there any other questions? Otherwise, we had two other people who just wanted to say a few words.
Please. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, distinguished staff from the City Council. My name is Marcelino Alvarez. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Uncork Studios. We're a software design and development agency here in Portland. And I'm honored to share some thoughts on what fiber to the home will mean to us, both as a representative of the tech community, but also as a consumer. My testimony tonight is going to, or today is going to focus on the idea of accessibility. Accessibility in five key areas: people, devices, content, economic and urban development, and accessibility for the future. As our distinguished colleagues mentioned earlier, the Google plan offers various levels of connectivity. And at that free plan, which provides access to citizens, we really have a tremendous opportunity to bridge the digital divide. If we look at lower-income homes that primarily access internet vis-a-vis their mobile plans, via their data plans, what Google Fiber represents is a tremendous opportunity. It means that a young child who wants to learn how to code can use the Khan Academy to learn how to code, teach himself valuable math and science skills without using up his mother's data plan. It means that a prospective job seeker who's looking to learn a new language, whether it be English or Spanish, can improve his hireability by using online content for free. The paid plans also offer us a tremendous opportunity to increase our connectivity, access the content that we seek, connect more devices to the home. And so that's the second point, devices. For those of you who watched the Consumer Electronics Show this year, the big buzzword was Internet of Things. Describes a near future where all our consumer electronics will be connected to the Internet, things like your blender, your oven, your washing machine, and your refrigerator. All these little devices will send messages up to the cloud, will pull some information down, and ultimately use up some of that very precious bandwidth that we are limited to at this day. For those of you who tried to watch the True Detective finale on Sunday on HBO Go, you understand how much of a pain point that bandwidth can be. Our existing devices right now struggle to remain connected in this world. As we look at the content that we are trying to access, the near future holds a promise of 4K TVs. That's double what our high-definition speeds are. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the next generation of consoles, are moving away from digital media or from physical media towards digital media, all using some of that content. And as we look at Portland's creative class, the consumers who want to create, consume, upload content, tell their stories, all that as well uses media. So fiber to the home really presents a tremendous opportunity. In terms of economic and urban development, it also presents a tremendous opportunity for us. As a small business owner, I really look forward to being able to recruit more talent to Portland by saying, we're a fiber city. We have more access. Come here instead of San Francisco, New York, or Austin. Well, Austin already has some, but come here. As a startup, I would say that the infrastructure that fiber to the home will provide us really gives us a tool to build the next generation of startup of technology company here in Portland. As we look towards the future, really fiber to the home presents an opportunity not just to catch up to our current data usage, but to really look forward beyond that. The groundwork for the next 10 to 20 years really relies on a gigabit system. Nielsen's law, which is really similar to Moore's law, says that we consume 50% more data every year, year on year. Fiber really presents a 57x jump on that. We're looking at the ability to jump 10 years with this connectivity. So gigabit's really just the beginning. The people that it will teach, the people that it will recruit, will carry us forward and allow Portland to sustain itself as a startup hub, as a technology center, and as a creative hub. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners, mayor. My name's Rich Bader. I am a reformed entrepreneur. Until recently, I was the CEO of Easy Street Online Services. You may be familiar with what we do. I'm here in support of this program. Simply put, I do not think that there is a more important or more impactful initiative for the city or the region to take on that goes beyond the support of this program. It touches everything in our society. It, as you've heard, it touches economic development and technology, education, healthcare, helping to cross the digital divide. It slices, it dices. I could launch into hyperbole, but I won't. I think the facts speak for themselves. This is a platform for innovation and for keeping our region competitive. I can't think of a better partner for the region to work with than Google in this instance. They are a large, impactful corporation. We can have debates about their business model, but in terms of what it is that they would deliver with this network, we have seen that there are very few options in terms of introducing significant heft and weight into this marketplace, and that's what it's going to require to deliver this. We know it's a $500 million project, roughly, just to do the Portland area. If we extend it into metro area, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. There's very few organizations that are willing to deploy that kind of capital. So to encourage Google to do that here, I think, is a wonderful thing. I can't think of a better office or place to manage this project than the Office of Community Technology. Over the decades now, they've demonstrated, in my opinion, a right-mindedness about how to approach broadband, about how to deal with the franchise issues, how to balance the private and public sector's interest. And I believe that with the team that that Mary Beth and her office will be able to pull together, that they will be able to run at internet speed with the support of the council, with the support of all the bureaus, with the support of the community. I believe that we can have a very successful program and we'll be able to look at this as one of the places where we bent the arc in terms of technology and economic development in Portland. And if there's any way that I can personally help or help rally the community to do so, I am willing to put my money where my mouth is. So thank you very much for your attention and for this resolution.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Questions for anyone?
I have one more question for Mary Beth, and mm-hmm. I know you can answer this one. How do people sign up to be in a fiberhood? How would they indicate that they want to be supportive of this? Is there a way for them to indicate that at this time?
Yes, Google has already set up a Google Fiber blog, Portland, and you can go in and put your zip code, and they will then keep you updated on progress as we move forward.
And that would be helpful for people to do that now to show that there is excitement.
Certainly. The GIS data and our processes are quite important. That's the hard data. But Google is also looking at the community interest. They want to go where a community wants Google, and you can show that by, it doesn't obligate you to anything, but you can just show that by signing up that you're interested.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would just, I do have a question, but I just wanted to take this advantage to thank Rich Bader for all of his advocacy and around broadband issues for the city of Portland and this region, and for being a successful, albeit reformed, entrepreneur. And look forward to, we can, now that you have some time on your hands, we probably can use your advocacy and expertise as we make this a reality.
Thank you for your kind words.
So, Mary Beth, I just want to refresh my memory. This service will be just for residential service initially.
Yes, the primary focus at this point in time is residential.
Okay.
So it would be wireline competition at the residential level, which is something that we had advocated for in our broadband plan.
Okay, thanks.
Great, thank you very much. Appreciate all three of you.
I wanted to ask the panel what is something of a leading question, which is, I think that to a lot of people who think their current broadband service is fine and can't really imagine anything faster, I think this might seem sort of abstract, but I was reading a column by Joe Nocera in the New York Times a few weeks ago about the importance of Google Fiber, and what he was saying is that with consolidation in the industry of broadband providers, I mean, he's concerned that that raises worries about innovation and competition and a free and open internet. And that if you've got a limited number of broadband providers, that raises the potential that, you know, they will jack up prices, they will limit access. And he says that, you know, simply by providing competition, the introduction of Google Fiber is important for consumers. I was just wondering if you agree with that assessment and could elaborate on it.
Absolutely.
Yes, I agree with the premise. We have very strong incumbents. The regulatory environment at this point in time favors them. I do believe that there's a risk of, already is, strong consolidation both in telecom and in cable. You're probably aware of the Comcast Time Warner discussions, which would increase that concentration and make us increasingly nervous about the gatekeeper role that cable companies and television companies and telecom companies have historically played, and that they would extend that to the internet. So there's discussions about net neutrality. We can get, there's many dimensions of this, but many of these ills, as the commissioner and Nocera's article highlights, is that competition is the best way to help make things happen. And where Google was introduced in Kansas City, things happen. When municipal networks have sprung up, suddenly there's more availability of better pricing and more broadband and so forth. Competition is the juice that makes it all happen, and introducing Google to the mix here in town hopefully will bring those positive benefits to the community. So thanks for mentioning
that.
I would agree with my panelists. I think having the ability to go, you know, 50 times faster than what we already are to disrupt television and cable industries is a tremendous opportunity, and I think it'll benefit everybody. I think looking at current data speeds and offering that for free is a tremendous jump to really just commoditizing the internet and making it accessible to everybody. So it's a great step forward for all of us.
Well said. Thank you. Thanks very much. Anything else, Mary Beth, you want to add?
No, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's very exciting.
Great. We'll see if we have anyone signed up to speak on this.
Yes, we have three people. Come on up, Lightning, Shendrick, and Charles J.
Thanks very much. Come on up. Good morning, Lightning. You're on first.
Good morning. My company is Think Lightning Tank. I'm a watchdog think tank, and my name is Lightning. First of all, Google, I'd like to commend you on your success. You've done very well. I understand you have $60 billion in the bank currently. And one of the concerns I have is that we're talking about fiber to the home. And I hope you start looking at Portland on, there's a lot of people that are not in homes. And what I'd like to see with your assistance is to maybe take a look in that direction, because we have a lot of people that are chronically homeless. We have a lot of people that won't be using this service. But I think with the right creative ideas and thoughts, that can change. You're coming into Portland, and I welcome you. You're very successful. You know what you're doing. And you're on the heels of Apple right now, and I commend you for that. But we have an issue in this city of chronic homelessness. And I say to Google, if I was to ask some of the top representatives of Google, could you end chronic homelessness? I know what your answer would be in Portland, Oregon. You would say yes, because it can be done. You can build your companies the way you do. You've proven that. But we have a lot of people in this city that this will not be an opportunity for. And I'd like you to put some thought, maybe offer your assistance, and I didn't say your financial assistance, maybe your creative ideas to end chronic homelessness in Portland, Oregon. Thank you.
Thanks. Morning.
Morning. I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I actually applaud the use of fiber optics. Someday we may have video phones, which are very important in medical offices, because if you're in a local medical office, you don't want to spread germs. You don't want people to go to a central hospital, give the germs to your doctor, and the doctor and nurses give it to other people. So a lot of diagnosis can be met. I have seen these flat screens now in medical offices with a camcorder, so people can even use this stuff. And fiber optics is far better than satellite communication. In 1996, I took a community college class at Mount Hood, and every time it rained, my son was 1 year old, and the picture would turn into little squares, and it was funny. This stuff is an actual physical contact. There's a fiber optic cable running from Lincoln City to Japan. This is a video phone. I would rather just talk on a common telephone. Just recently, President Obama talked to Vladimir Putin on a telephone. Not a video phone, I mean, because they both know what they're talking about. I like basic internet. A lot of stuff can be sent basically on the internet technology that was developed in 1992 with the Intel 486 processor. I don't believe in this stuff in between. You either have a video phone with fiber optics or you don't. Okay? A lot of this stuff, 100 years from now, fiber optics will be here, and copper telephones will be here. All this other stuff in between, like coaxial cable, is going to be in the junkyard.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Charles?
Good morning, Commissioners. Again, for the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And I do have a little bit of empathy for you all, because we've elected you to do two different contradictory things. Sometimes we need you to be cheerleaders, and other times we need you to be watchdogs. And I want to encourage you to take the watchdog part seriously here. It's good to get and say, yay, Portland, yay, Google Fiber. But we're hearing about a very expensive infrastructure program, and we're not hearing very many dollars, and probably the concrete commitments are covered by non-disclosure. So I'm simply really encouraging you to look at not just making sure this is a pretty thing for city to for the city of Portland to remain competitive on the nationwide market, but to make sure that it's going to positively impact all the citizens. Of all the people that came up here, I was glad we'd one guy actually got it out of his mouth to say digital divide. I wish there had been more information forthcoming about how this will impact people who already have difficulty staying connected with the cyber economy. And I'm sure there's information that I can get from y'all at a later date. But the thing is to remember is that while you're cheerleading for Portland to keep us competitive, you also need to make sure that these billion-dollar corporations are not just coming around saying, oh, help us do something good for you. And then 2 years down the road, we find out that, well, in the high-income neighborhoods, they can get faster 1080p TV. And in the low-income neighborhoods, kids are still screwed, basically, is a very likely outcome for this. So that's really your job here, is to make sure it doesn't turn out that way. As regards to some of the other people up here, since this is an issue of keeping Portland competitive, the remarks of Mr. Lightning are pertinent. If people have to choose between a city that has gigabit broadband and 2,000 homeless people on the street, and a city like Salt Lake that might get gigabit broadband and have no homeless people on the street, then we're going to lose anyway. So please keep that in mind. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Then we need to take action on the resolution. Unless there are any further council questions, let's take a roll call on the resolution.
Fritz?
So the resolution is to appoint a Google Fiber project manager, and it appoints the manager of the Office for Community Technology. And Mary Beth Henry has been an amazing leader on this for a long time. I've known her since I was in charge of the Office of Cable Communications and Franchise Management in 2009. Very proud to see that the broadband plan, which my staff and I initiated with Mary Beth Henry and David Olson, the former director of that office, in partnership with Commissioner Saltzman and his staff, is being quoted and used and was the foundation for this effort. And indeed, that I appreciate the showing of the map with the disparities in connectedness between people with low incomes and the other neighborhoods. So that was in 2011. It was an early implementation strategy for our equity work, and I'm very proud of that. I have absolute confidence in Mary Beth Henry for being able to negotiate the both within the city and coordinating between the different bureaus and with Google to get a franchise agreement which will address that and be sure that we do get attention to all of the things so that everybody benefits. This truly is going to be a win-win-win for all of us. And so thanks to Tim Crail on my staff, who was instrumental in the broadband plan, Brendan Finn in Commissioner Saltzman's, and Skip Newberry in Mayor Adams's office, who worked really hard to set the foundation several years ago that now we're moving forward on. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this is a great effort and led by somebody who is very prepared and eager to take on this task to make Google broadband a reality in Portland. Mary Beth Henry, aye.
Novick.
I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman and Fritz and their offices for their work on this issue over the years, and thank Mary Beth for her work. And just to reiterate that to the consumer at home, I think that Google Fiber will provide defense against rate increases for broadband services by an increasingly oligopolistic provider network. And that in itself, even if we didn't have higher speeds, would be very important. I should note for the record that Google's proposal will raise issues regarding management of the right-of-way that PBOT and Mary Beth and Google will have to work out, and there'll probably be some hiccups along the way, but I'm sure that'll work out fine. But again, I just want to emphasize this is about economic development. This is about competitiveness. This is about higher speeds. But it's also about just ensuring that there is competition so that consumers don't see ever-rising prices for broadband services. Aye.
Hales.
Charles raised a valid point that I want to reiterate, and that is it's our job and Mary Beth's job in this role to make sure that we both meet the challenge that this opportunity presents to us. Can we get the permits and all the rest right? And look out for the public interest at the same time. And that's an important dual responsibility that we have. One of the assets in dealing with that, of course, is Mary Beth herself. I teased her about becoming the czarina on her way in, but we have had in this bureau and continue to have somebody who's a national leader as well as a great resource and who's mindful of that public interest while we try to make all these logistical details work. So that's an important point to keep on the table, and it's valid. I want to just highlight that we might need, as a city, in order to meet this timeline, to be innovative in how we address our own zoning code, because we're dealing with multiple construction projects at once all over the city, most of it on existing poles, and a lot of it in right-of-way, whether it's a cabinet or otherwise. So just want to put everybody on notice that there might be a need to take fairly swift action about the land use issues, and that's one of the technical conversations that needs to take place. So we might need to do something a little unusual in terms of how we process land use applications, because we probably can't have them coming through one after the other over a very long time period in order to meet this timeline. But more about that later. Those are the kinds of issues that we have to grapple with, again, to look at both the opportunity and the public interest, and get a lot of people working together to share information quickly. I think we're going to meet the challenge, but it's not just happy talk. There's a lot of real work underway that's going to have to show up here pretty quickly. So far, so good. Aye.